And so we come now to the Lord's table. And I was thinking as our brother went through a number of passages of Scripture this morning describing the cup of God's wrath and how He will pour it out. He has poured it out and He will pour it out. And one day in the great tribulation, will pour it out upon all the nations who have rejected the Lord. There will be great suffering and great sorrow. And then, of course, the wrath doesn't end there in physical life on this earth. It continues in the lake of fire, where the Lord Jesus warned that their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There is a wrath. There is a judgment that the Lord has promised to all who have rebelled against Him and sinned against Him. And as I listened to that and I thought of it, I thought, but you know, we're all subject to wrath. What did Isaiah say in the text we read this morning, Isaiah 64 at verse 6? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hidden thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. When we think about, when we contemplate the wrath that is to befall rebellious sinners, let us not forget that we too were subject to such wrath. And in Ephesians 2, Paul describes us what? As children of wrath, doesn't he? We're all children of wrath. People like to go around and talk about how we're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. We're all children of wrath. And he describes in Ephesians 2, among whom we all had our manner of life in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. It says, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. So you see, there is this rebellion against Christ that is spearheaded and led by the devil himself. And he recruited Adam and Eve in the garden, didn't he, by telling them lies about the Lord and lies about the consequences of disobedience. And so now we're all children of wrath. So when we hear about the cup of wrath and we hear about the judgment that's to befall, we have to remember that it's not just against those dirty, rotten scoundrels over there on the other side of the globe that are mean and that cut people's heads off. And it's not just about people in darkest Africa who wear bones in their noses and worship the spirits. And it's not just about the deluded Roman Catholics or the Mormons or whatever. It's not about the atheists that are trying to take God out of the schools. It's about every one of us. We're all subject to wrath. There's a cup of wrath for everyone because there is none that doeth good. No, not one, the Scriptures tell us. I thought of the fact that Paul then says in Ephesians chapter 2, but God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, has made us alive through Jesus Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How can it be that we should be delivered from that cup of wrath which our sin has so richly earned for each of us? And the answer, of course, is the Lord Jesus drank up that cup of wrath for His people at Calvary. You remember when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out that if it be possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. You see, he faced the prospect, imminent prospect, very shortly, hours later, in the early part of the next morning, that he would face that bitter cup and be required to drink it up in the place of his people. You see, there's a cup of wrath set for every one of us. It's just a question of who's going to drink it. Who's going to pay the awful price? Reminds me of the words of that song, "Was it for me? He wept and prayed, my load of sin before him laid." That night within Gethsemane, was it for me? That agony. It was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. And you remember when they came to take him away, Peter tried to stop him, didn't he? Peter thought he was doing a good thing, but he tried to stop the Lord Jesus from drinking that cup of wrath for his people. And the Lord Jesus told him, "Put away thy sword, Peter. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Shall I not drink it?" And he did drink it. He drank it all down for his people. We sing the words of that song that we love so well. "Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Left naught but love for me." This is what we celebrate at the Lord's table. The time when the cup of wrath for God's people was transferred to Jesus at Calvary. And he drank it. He drank it dry. And now there's no wrath left for us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Let's give thanks for the Lord's table and for how we come to escape the wrath that the Scriptures describe shall be poured out upon all the world. We come to escape it by the blood shedding of Jesus on the cross for us. The bread representing that body that was torn and bruised and spit upon for us. That cup representing the blood that was poured out to make an atonement for our sin. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Left naught but love for us. I'd like to ask Brother Whitney if he'd give thanks for the bread that pictures the body of the Lord Jesus sacrificed for us. The Scriptures tell us that on the night our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's give thanks for the cup that pictures the blood of the Lord Jesus shed to make atonement for his people. O God, our Father in heaven, we rejoice in the goodness that you've shown us through Jesus Christ and through the preaching of the gospel, and that you have brought every soul here that's trusted in Jesus. You brought us all to trust in the Lord Jesus, to trust in the promises that you've made for us, the solemn promises, to rest only upon the sacrifice and the bloodshedding of our Redeemer, our Prince and our Savior. And we confess that this cup of celebration, this cup, this wine, which the Lord Jesus designated to remember him by, is a sweet cup to us. And it represents that bitter cup which the Lord Jesus exhausted on the cross for us. We thank you that we celebrate now with sweet wine what to the Lord Jesus was a very bitter and horrible and sorrowful thing, that our sins should be laid on Him and He should patiently bear them, that He should suffer all the wrath of your cup of divine justice poured out on Him. He should suffer it instead of us, that we might be set free, that we might go free from the judgment. And it wasn't for any merit in ourselves or any goodness in ourselves. It was all your grace that you have spared us and that you have given us a substitute so glorious as the Lord Jesus. We thank you for this cup that pictures the blood that He shed and by which we're made clean and by which we come before you with boldness, not in fear and terror, but with boldness because of your exceeding great love towards us as shown in Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scriptures tell us after they had supped, He took the cup and He blessed it. And He said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood for the remission of sins. Do it as often as ye do it in remembrance of me." And the Scriptures tell us that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do preach the Lord's death until He comes. Let's stand and sing number 124 in the Black Book. "The Holy One who knew no sin, God made Him sin for us. The Savior died our souls to win upon the shameful cross." Number 124.